Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of studies out of the book of Deuteronomy. So get close to your radio and get your Bible now as we take a deeper look in the book.
All right, we are going through the book of Deuteronomy. Tonight, I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 17, 18, and chapter 19. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, Moses has a sermon as well as a prophecy. You know, so far as we've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, we've just been looking at the sermons of Moses, the sermon of Moses. If you want to get some preaching material, preachers, you can always go to the book of Deuteronomy and see what the great man of God, Moses, preached. When we come to chapter 17, though, Moses, he gives a prophetic word. He gives a prophecy, and I want you to see this prophecy here. It's a prophecy concerning the king. The prophecy concerning the king. Why is this a prophecy? See, Moses was speaking a word of prophecy since Israel did not have a king. And it would be about 400 and some odd years before they would have a king. And so he gives a word of prophecy, some instructions on how to go about choosing the king and the behavior of the king. Look here at chapter 17, beginning with verse number 14. Look at what it says. He says, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. You hear what they're saying? Moses says, when y'all get in that land, y'all gonna start asking for a king. Why did they want a king? So that they can be like everybody else. See, God always wants his people to be different, but God's people always got this one problem, one major problem. They want to be like everybody else. Hello, somebody. As children growing up in a Christian home, most of us come from Christian families, and our parents didn't want us to be like other kids, did they, out in the world. But what was our problem? We wanted to be like them, even though they was bad. We wanted to be bad just like them. And Moses is saying, now, when y'all get in the land, this is what's going to happen. Y'all going to ask for a king to be over us just like the other nations. And then he says, verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. Now, that should be a hint right there, shouldn't it? They ought not be asking until God done chose them a king. But they kind of got ahead, didn't they? And they said, hey, come on. And they kind of, in one sense, force God's hand, but we know you can't really force God's hand. But in one sense, they was demanding a king, because what? They looked at things in the natural, didn't they? Remember, Samuel was getting old, and they thought that Samuel was getting ready to die. And what did they say? They said, come on and give us a king, because Samuel is old and his boys are bad. They're bad boys. I mean, Samuel got some bad boys, and we don't want them bad boys to reign over us. So why don't we make a, a shift, a change. It's time for us to get modernized. And let us get a king like all the other nations. Everybody else got a king. Why come we can't have a king? And so they went on and got a king. But Samuel didn't die right then, did he? He lived a long time. Matter of fact, Saul reigned 40 years, which was Israel's first king. And Samuel lived just about most of all them 40 years. So you can't ever look at things in the natural. You may be thinking, I'm getting ready to die just because I'm getting some, you know, gray hair and stuff, and pastor can't move and, you know, and do all them object lessons like he was. He got to preach now at the rocking chair. Hello, somebody. Don't push me on to the grave. Hello, somebody. Even if I got to preach out that rocking chair, let me preach out that rocking chair. Amen. Amen. I may do a skit with the rocking chair. You know, you never know. All right. But notice what it says here. Let me read verse 15 again. Thou shalt in it anywise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among the brethren shall thou set king over thee. And thou may not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. So it had to be a Jewish man. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So he was not to have plenty horses, he was not to have plenty wives, and he wasn't to have plenty money. Why is that? Why is that? What are the temptations, the three temptations that normally the devil used? The devil been using them ever since Adam and Eve, and he's still using them. The lust of the what? Eyes. The lust of the flesh. And the pride of life. Do you see all of that? If I got 200 horses, I'm going to stick my chest out, ain't I? That's pride, ain't it? If I got plenty of wives, what's that? That's flesh right there. If I got a different woman every night, I'm just in the flesh. Hello, somebody. And then if I got plenty of money and a lot of material things, what's that? That's the lust of the eyes, ain't it? Whatever I see, I just buy it. I got money to waste. Well, so we'll move right along with that illustration. Let's move right along. Amen. Amen. That fit right on in there. I ain't got no money to waste. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So what was the qualification of a king? The first thing, he had to be a native Israelite, didn't he? He had to be of Jewish descent, and then it was some restrictions on him. What was the three restrictions? He couldn't have a bunch of horses for himself, couldn't have a bunch of women for himself, and he couldn't have a bunch of money for himself. Now you think about it, that's what the average man wants. Back in Bible days. And if the truth be told, Huh? If the truth be told, the average worldly man, that's what he want today. Hello, somebody. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Now, there was another requirement. Now, look at this requirement, verse 18 and 19 and 20. And it shall be when he set it upon the throne of the kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and these statutes, to do them. Now, why? Well, let me say this before I ask the question, why? Notice he had to take the first five books of the Bible, and he had to take that book and then get pen and paper, manuscript, and write out the Bible. And once he done wrote it out, then he had to study it every day. Now, why did God want him to write it? Couldn't he just, by him being the king, couldn't he just get him a copy of a scroll? Couldn't he get a scribe or somebody to write it for him? Why do we have to write out scripture? To memorize it. If you want to memorize a verse, you got to write it down. Listen, writing is recording. That's what the teachers used to teach us. When we was asking, oh, why we got to write it? Because writing is recording. When you write it down, then you just recorded it. Amen. You just put it right there. Amen. And that's where it needs to go. Amen. And then it needs to drop down in your heart and you meditate on it. Amen. Meditate. But why do you do that? Verse 20. Why did God want him to do that? That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren's, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Why was he to write it down? Amen. The first thing, so he can stay humble, so he won't get the big head. Do you know why when we come into the church, the average person, well, all of us, when we come into the church, we got the big head? Huh? We got the big head. We got a pride problem. Every person that come through these doors in any church automatically got a pride problem. Matter of fact, do you know the thing that's keeping a person from coming to church? It's pride. Why come you can't go to that church? Them hypocrites down there. You just said you too good for that church. That was pride. Regardless what them people doing there. What's that got to do with you on judgment day? God ain't gonna take that answer on judgment day. Well, God, the reason I wouldn't go, I just couldn't find no church to go to. Now, that ain't no work with God. Do you know the reason why God's got so many different kinds of churches? According to Romans chapter 2, so you'll have no excuse. So that every mouth will be shut. So you won't have no excuse. That's why he got all different kinds of churches. He got churches where you dress up, churches where you don't dress up, church that play rock music, church that play pop music, church that play, you know, rapping music today. Amen. They got some hip-hop churches and all kind of churches. So today you can't say that. Well, I just can't find no. No, you can't use that today. Hello, somebody. You got all kind of churches today. You got all kind of stuff in Jesus' name going on today. Hello, somebody. You got some good, bad, and ugly all in Jesus' name today. But it's a pride. It's pride. It's pride. And it's not until you get in this word that you see that how proud you are. It's really not. It's, you really don't know how bad you are until you get in this word. As a matter of fact, can't nobody even tell you how bad you are because of your pride. Hello, somebody. Somebody tell you you need to go to church. Oh, you need to go to church. You don't need to be worrying about me. Hello, somebody. Amen. See, and a lot of times when we show up for church, we show up to be the Savior. Hello, somebody. We show up to be the Savior when we show up for church. Amen. I'm going to go on down there to the lit church and help them out. Yeah. Look like they need a little help up there in the choir. I might as well go on join. Hello, somebody. Uh-huh. Yeah, let me go on and do the right thing and get on up in here. Help them out. Help them out. Amen. See, when we come into the church, most of us think the church need us. And we don't realize we really need the church. Amen. That's why when you come into church, really, you just need to sit down and get your Bible and hush and listen. Tell the truth, somebody, and shame the devil. We done messed up so many churches back when a person come in, they bring out the lit chair and they set a person down right there, and then the secretary come and they get the name and say, Pastor, we got Sister Mary Squash and her family. They are coming by Christian Experience. They're coming back. So we already done been in church and stuff. So we coming back Christian Experience. And so the first thing the pastor going to ask them, Sister Squash, what you feel like the Lord wants you to do? And, I sang solo. Oh, we got a soloist here. Ooh! Thank you in Jesus' name. She a choir all by herself. We're so happy to have her. Amen. And we stick her up in the choir, and the biggest devil in the world just joined the church. And we didn't even know it. Hello, somebody. Amen. Let me move on a little bit further. See, when people come in the church, they come in thinking that they're king and queen already. Amen. And we need to humble ourselves. It takes a long time, number one, to get you together. Because, see, God has got to do a makeover. He do. And it's going to take him more than 7 days. If you've just been watching this makeover show and they just do it in a week time, no. No, but they bring in 1,000 people. Sometimes they have 1,000 volunteers to do that. Amen. Amen. It's going to take God a long time. Not because God can't do it overnight. It's because you need some time to grow. You need time to grow. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. All right. So this king, and do you see how their king got out of line? As a matter of fact, what king did this? What king wrote the Bible for himself? What king? Can you think of a king that wrote it out? Now, do you see why all of them messed up? Because they didn't even go by what the Bible said they were supposed to do. Even David messed up. Hello, somebody. They kept wanting to be like other kings. Matter of fact, that's why they was always fighting other kings. They wanted what the other kings even had. It was a territorial thing. Uh-huh. All right. So that's 17, the prophecy concerning the king. All right. Let's move to 18. In 18, we got a sermon against the occult. A sermon against the occult. O-C-C-U-L-T. O-C-C-U-L-T. A prophecy against the occult. Look here what he says in verse number 9. Chapter 18. He says, when thou come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. Let me say that again. When thou come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of the nation. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that use divination, or an observer of time, or enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. Now here it is. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of time, unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee to do. Now, so the king was not to be like the other kings, and the people was not to be like the other people in the land. He says in verse 9, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of these nations. Sin is a learned behavior. Did you hear what I said? Sin is a learned behavior. These people, they went into the occult, but where they was going was into the occult. Where they was going, there were no witches in Israel, but where they was going, there were some witches. There weren't folks that believed in familiar spirits, but where they was going, there was folks that got into seance and divinations and stuff like that. And so God was saying, listen, don't learn the practice of those people. Why? Because it's an abomination. What do we mean by abomination? God said, that makes me sick. That makes me throw up. That's what he's talking about. That make him puke. Whenever something is an abomination. Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. 3766, or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Send down.